What's happening? Fourth hour of the hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio is upon you. It's upon us. And we're glad to bring it to you courtesy of all Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. By us, I mean the crew of the J. Martin Ramon Show. That is 11-year NFL veteran involved for life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer, and Jason Martin. At Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on sports, at J. Martin Radio, at J. Martin and Ramon. 615-737-1045. That's the way you can join us. YouTube. You can go hang out there where a lot of people are right now, commenting back and forth, having fun, of course. Twitch, you can also find us there. Find Zone TV wherever you want. Facebook Live as well.
You're welcome at any time.
You can also get yourself notified. If you go to Facebook Live, there's a notify option where you'll get a notification whenever there's a stream live from the Zone. Of course, same, you generally know when we're on, but you can get those notifications if you would like.
YouTube also. Hit that like button also while y'all at it.
We get a lot of people that are in the chat before we even get on the air.
Yeah, they beat us every single time.
I try to say first and stuff like that. You know, people come at first. Nah, I'm late to the party already. How am I late to the own show? To my own show.
The top observation, there have been several that you could go with here.
Go with Puzzo
Mike in YouTube with five rolling on the floor laughing emojis and just the word bone face.
Bone face. And then asked is Charlie Sheen alive? Come on, y'all. What's wrong with y'all? Of course, winning is still winning.
Define alive.
I hadn't heard a whole lot from him lately, though.
Alive like UT Martin's football program.
Boy, that was needless.
Oh, the person that needed to hear it?
I agree with that. But you can't say it wasn't a broadside.
Also, we'll go Zach Bunch. That chain came from the 25-cent machine at the local Chinese buffet. That's referring to Andy in K-Town.
Yeah.
Andy in K-Town, the rap heard round the state yesterday. Over 85,000 views on Twitter. We've reached out to him, and hey, he might be on line one right now. Let's go to Andy in K-Town. Andy, it's good to have you on.
Good morning. I wanted to get a freestyle rap I made just for the show.
Let's hear it.
All right.
All right. Here on J-Mart and Ramon, I'm on 104.5 The Zone. Andy from the 423 Vols wing because of hype from me. Bowling Green was led to their fate. Vols feeling like it's 98. Bleeding orange till I die. Joe Milton lets it fly. Here with J-Mart, Ramon, and Schaefer. Listen, because you hear me on the tape, you heard.
Thank you, Andy. You rhyme too much. You rhyme too much, so we know that's not him.
Ron put all flames in his YouTube.
Hey, you know what, man?
I'm pretty sure we know who that was. Well done.
Well done.
Again, the rhyme poetry was too strong for that to have been our man VFL Bowser 98. Swagbuck has just dropped three straight comments on Twitch that are just a bunch of fire emojis. Cousin Andrew says, that wasn't him, man. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
Chaz, we certainly thought it was.
Chaz said, was that from Donda Apple?
I see that.
Social Dweeb Sports said, bars.
That was a hidden track on the Kanye album.
Hey, man. What?
Hey, you know what? If you play Andy's rap backwards, if you play VFL Bowser's rap backwards, Schaefer, you know what you hear?
That.
8-2. Kyle in the Burrow next. Kyle, what's up?
What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, man. Good morning.
First, Milton, that dude's got an arm. I've been watching UT football for about 40 years. I have never seen a guy fling it that easy.
Yeah.
That being said, he needs to see the middle of the field. He had some wide open guys, and it looked like he was always trying to go for that home run ball. And I think Hopper will get that fixed. Yeah. The O-line looked good. I know it was Bowling Green, but there was no pressure on that guy last night. He had 5-6 seconds to throw the ball.
Yeah.
So that was kind of encouraging. And for the D, I know it was Bowling Green again, but they didn't look confused. They wouldn't have to call a timeout because they were mislined up. They were tackling good. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird to see this. you know, after having Pruitt, a defensive-minded coach for 3 years, they just seemed, I don't know, they just seemed something different about them in this game. They seemed to be together, communicating, and that was kind of encouraging. But I think this team's going to have to score 30-plus a game to beat SEC football teams this year, and I hope Heupel gets it fixed. I think he can. And it was good to start seeing UT football again. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Kyle.
Sounds like Kyle is cautiously optimistic.
I think it's a good take. Yeah. From Kyle.
I mean, all those are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's reasonable.
Yep. Yep.
Tony the Stud.
Hey, Tony.
Tony, what's up?
Tony.
What's going on, gentlemen? Good morning. Bulls are 1-0, baby. Undefeated.
I'll take
Completely
it.
Undefeated. Man, I wanted to break down the game for y'all and give you my thoughts, if that's all right.
Sure.
You know, obviously, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit disappointed. I'm just going to keep it real. I'm gonna keep things moving in the reality world. The Vols should have scored more than 38 points. They should have had the ball more in the second quarter. They made a couple of mistakes. Defensively, giving Bowling Green some first downs during that first half, allowing them to get down there and kick those field goals. Milton's got an arm, boys. Mm-hmm. The dude's got a cannon, but I did not. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't like some of his decision making. I felt like he, you know, I know for certain that he missed two deep balls that were touchdowns. I felt like he was either too antsy or just you know. Going for the exactly, you know, what the guy said before me, the home run ball. He needs to settle down. The dude does have an arm. I was really intrigued by the offensive line. Again, it is Bowling Green, but Milton was a statue. That dude had more time to throw in the pocket than I've seen in any college football game in a long time. Run game looked good too. Didn't Evans look good, boys? Mm-hmm. Evans looked like he was pretty good, yeah? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Smith. So both of those guys look good. It's encouraging. I want to stay optimistic, but I want to be real, too, and say that ish is not going to happen against Florida. You will not get away with that type of stuff. You will get a lot more pressure. Milton did take some sacks yesterday. So 38-6, couldn't cover the spread. Watched the game with my boy Caden down in Florida over Messenger. We had a good old time. Balls are 1-0, baby, undefeated. Let's go beat Pittsburgh.
All right, Tony, we appreciate it. Bonus top observation from James Lewis, who just said on YouTube, Andy and K-Town is Bone Thugs and Heresy.
Vols fans, baby. Vols fans.
I'll say this. Ball Twitter last night was actually
it wasn't horrible.
Reasonable.
It wasn't
it
horrible.
Was.
Yeah.
Kyle's but, call. Yeah.
Yeah, because the other thing was that look, you have to criticize Joe Milton's performance because it wasn't great.
No.
That doesn't mean he can't get better. Doesn't mean he won't improve. But, yeah, you went in, you won, there's mistakes to fix. Okay, there's no reason to be toxic from the performance last night. None. There's no reason to be toxic. But is it going to be a tough game against Pitt? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they would have played that game against even a mid-tier SEC opponent, they'd have lost.
It's the first showing, though, but truth be told, Ohio State looked a little rusty.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
there,
are
they number one? And I'm not
week
covering
one,
it.
Week one in college football.
Week one. I'm not excusing
out
it.
Out right. Week one
I'm not trying to
football.
Bring them down to lift us up, but it's week one. Again, it's got to be progressively better.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing. We can point out what they need to get progressively better at.
Yep.
Someone named Jeremy Graham sends us a tweet and says, we need a fam rap battle segment. And I was just immediately thinking to myself, can you imagine how terrible Balin Ali would be if he was part of that?
And I like Balin Ali. Super
He's
dope
such
dude.
Such a
man.
Great dude.
At least he was wearing a shirt last night.
He was. I've heard him trash talk numerous shows. He hasn't hit the spot yet.
I'm telling you, man. I told you. It's his smack talk is Urkel-like.
Yeah.
One of the nicest dudes you'll meet, but it's
awesome
terrible.
Dude.
Yeah,
trash
awesome
talk.
Dude.
Terrible. Awesome dude.
Terrible.
Look at everybody just patting him on his back.
This is some Sandra Bullock stuff right here. Some miscongeniality right now.
It's almost like we can trash talk him right now. No, baby. Yeah. You're doing good.
I don't mean no disrespect.
But that's the worst right there. No, let him be a man.
Bless his heart.
So now that
that's
now,
what I was looking for.
That's right.
Bless his heart.
I just have to read a few of these now because they're coming through. Different listeners right now. Members of the fam. Cousin Mike says, can I please do the rap battle with my shirt off?
Yeah.
Casey responds, I'm coming for Cousin Mike first. Tony the Stud says, low key, I can actually rap. They used to call me Real Slim Shady.
Good Lord.
Look what this turned. Andy.
We didn't even do anything.
4-2-3. Thank you, Andy, in the 4-2-3.
I just wanted to tell a joke at Ball and Ali's expense. I didn't realize.
As usual, things escalate, and we didn't start.
When we come back, Troy Fleming. We will talk what he saw last night, where improvement needs to be, and what he liked about the Vols' performance and win over Bowling Green. That's next right here on J. Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Okay, okay.
Welcome back. J. Martin okay. And Ramon, 104.5 The Counting Zone. CLB Friday. That's what we're using for all those music. For all the rejoins. Adam says to us, Andy's got the flow of a clogged toilet. We're talking about Andy in K-Town. I've spoken to his people. I'm trying to get him on.
That man giving his all for Tennessee.
Tennessee wins 38-6 last night over Bowling Green. We welcome in. I think it's Bowling. Did I say Bowling Green just now?
You said Bowling Green.
You okay. Said Green.
I said Green.
That is demerit.
For everybody.
On who? Moan or
everyone.
Me?
Myself okay. Included. Everybody for today.
Troy Fleming joins us on the line. Troy, what's going on this morning?
What's up, Troy?
Not much, guys. How you doing?
We're doing pretty well. So, overall takeaways from Heupel V1.0 last night?
The biggest thing I take away from was the improvement in play with the offense and defensive line. Now, we all know it was Bowling Green and not Green, but I think they played extremely well. They've shown it definitely signs of improvement compared to what we saw last year. Obviously, there's room for improvement. I think that with the next 8 days, I think they'll get it done. Joe Milton obviously came out. The first offense drive looked beautiful. As a picture perfect, but I think after that second series, he got apprehensive on some of the throws, and it's the same thing I always say. And I tell kids in high school, I'm not a quarterback guru. What I tell them, though, is this. I say, if you want to be able to play on the collegiate level as a quarterback, you got to be able to throw the ball across the middle with confidence and know where to throw it to. And I think that when he had some of those open receivers in the middle, he got a little apprehensive. Mm-hmm. But hopefully he won't moving forward, because if he does, then it's going to be a long season. Because all teams are going to do is play the edge and force him to throw in the middle.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, man. As somebody that has to protect from the O-line in the backfield also, his standing, do you think that's a habit of his or something that Pruitt taught him in the pocket, Troy?
He said after the ball fake and the standing. I was on the field in warm-ups, and I saw all the quarterbacks go through that. It's like the read option fake, and then it's like one – I guess they're going through the progressions, 1, 2, 3, and then they're throwing the ball, which I understand why they're doing it, but you can't be a statue in the pocket. Even the most mobile quarterback has his feet moving and buzzing and ready to anticipate having to move and not standing still on one spot. So I think it's something that he's being taught as in going through his progressions, but they're not telling him to stay there. I just think he's just staying there and waiting until the receiver gets open.
Troy, do you think that this is something that, he did this at Michigan also, but he held on to the ball for a long time. And that was one of the critiques last night. It's like he's even like motioning receivers to go deeper down the field instead of taking maybe something that's available a little bit shorter. Is that something where you can look at film? It seems to me you can look at film and say, you know what, I'm holding on to the ball too long. And that's something that can be addressed and fixed without too much trouble.
Absolutely. And it just, when I look at what Joe Milton was doing, it reminded me of what another quarterback in the NFL was doing, who threw for almost 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 30 interceptions. And everybody knows I'm talking about Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. Obviously, being in New Orleans with Sean Payton, he got that corrected because obviously he won the quarterback job this offseason. But again, those are things that are correctable and things that, again, as you get more and more game experience and also you get better pressure from opponents, you're going to move from that spot and get the ball thrown, and you're going to throw them open and not wait for them to be open to throw.
The young running backs, man, the JUCO transfer, and just watching them do work last night, is that something you think needs to be the highlight? Because when you think about fast play offenses, you think air. Everything's in the air. Like, those two guys showed up last night, and I know it was Bowling Green, but still, they still did the job.
They did an amazing job, and along with the offensive line. I mean, literally, you'd watch those guys run. They get in the hole. They get small. They get behind those big offensive linemen, and then when it opens, they jot through with a burst and make their moves down the field. And offensive line did an amazing job. Again, when Cooper Mays got injured, the effectiveness of it kind of and just the, you know, went downhill a little bit. He tried to come back in and make it work, but it didn't. But again, Heupel realized as the game went on that we could run the ball at 5 yards a clip anytime we wanted, and that's what he did in the second half, and that's what really blew the game open coming out of halftime.
Troy Fleming joining us here on the line, by the way. Troy, what did you think of the pace? We all knew we were going to expect a fast-paced offense, but actually watching it in person with people wearing Vols uniforms, how did it feel to you?
It was fast. Normally you hear our game stadium announcer, Jeff Jarnigan, saying words, but it was literally the first drive was quiet. You could hear a buzz, and it's like people are, you know, when you're somewhere and you hear all the background noise, they're probably – people talking like, man, we're moving at a fast clip. Mm-hmm. And literally it was, as soon as the ball was put down, it was hand clap, go, hand clap, go. And the referee kept getting in the way. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought the rule was if we sub, they could sub. And at one point, I think they stopped the game to allow them to sub, which kind of frustrated me. But I enjoyed watching the pace.
You were there yesterday. What did you think of the operation of the coaches with the players, the crowd, the Vol walk, just – did it feel like, okay, we actually have something again, or was it just, here we go again? How did you feel about yesterday as a whole in your experience?
I thought it was outstanding. The crowd, it was anticipation. You could feel it in the air. You knew from what you read, what you heard, that obviously we're thinking we have a quarterback, we have an offensive coach, we're going to put up points, and that the defense has gotten better, and all those things are true. The crowd was enthusiastic. They were into it. The coaches handled themselves with poise and demeanor. I think the only time I really saw Coach Heupel get upset was when Amarian Thomas tipped the ball and they tried to call pass interference on us, and the referees wouldn't stop the play to review it until finally they did. But I thought otherwise, the coaches managed the game well. They operated well. The team was effective in and out of the huddle. There was not a lot of confusion. So they look like they've actually practiced and gone through the steps of what's going to take place. And Ramon, from being here, almost walkthroughs, and they the game walkthrough, we're going to show exactly what to do, how we're going to operate so that you actually look like you've been here.
Another thing that's happened yesterday, and I'm sure you had a chance to see them, but the statues that were unveiled yesterday in front of the stadium, man, and just paying homage to those guys, Lester McClain, who's the first black player in the SEC, at Tennessee, Jackie Walker, the first black All-American, Condrus Holloway, which you've had dealings with, I have, everybody in this current era have, and then T. Martin. Being able to see them, what they represent, and just the university actually acknowledging that, man, had to be a cool thing to see in Knoxville.
It was. A lot of folks were impressed and very thankful for the statues and the contributions of those four men, and plus all the other men who have contributed to the University of Tennessee. I remember walking down the hallway seeing photos of Jackie Walker, and I'm sure you saw the diving photo with his arms outstretched.
Yeah.
And everyone, and I used to be like, who is this dude? And everybody would be like, man, you don't know who Jackie Walker is? And then watching him play and seeing the clips, and even Lester McClain, obviously Condridge, being around him all my time, being there talking to him. I ran into him yesterday, leaving the tailgate, and congratulated him. And obviously everybody knows what T did for university, winning a national championship. For the University of Tennessee, it's a proud moment, an outstanding moment. And yes, I'm definitely glad the university decided to recognize those men.
Another guy you know very well, too. 27-yard line, man, means something now. Al Wilson, man, how cool is a thing is that for him to be on the field the way he is and represented in that fashion, too?
Outstanding. I mean, honestly, I know everybody – when they hear Tennessee, they think of Peyton Manning. But for me, when I hear Tennessee, it's Al Wilson. Obviously, we shared the same number.
Yeah.
Obviously, I came after him. But Al's an outstanding individual. He is so friendly, so approachable. And for them to honor that for him is outstanding. And everybody knows eventually they need to go ahead. Not only if they, I don't know if they're in the retiring numbers, which they are, but they need to go ahead. And I think they maybe have already retired. I'm not sure, but nobody needs to wear 27 again, in my opinion.
Right.
So, you know, we were out at the Orange and White game, Troy, and there were a lot of VFLs that were back, some names that you hadn't seen in a while. And we talked to you last fall, and with the Pruitt thing when it started to go south, and then here comes the coaching search, and everybody we talked about culture. When you look at where the university is, well, look, baseball looks pretty solid right now. Basketball seems to be on the right pathway, both for men's and women's. When you look around with what Heupel has done so far, do you see the makings, even just the infancy, of the culture that you want to be at the University of Tennessee again?
Absolutely. And again, like I said, it was exciting to see those young men to be happy and playing the game of football. You heard them talk all offseason about enjoying going to practice, enjoying being around, enjoy being in the complex. And it all comes from credit to those coaches establishing the culture along with the players buying into what they're selling. You know, at first, when Josh Heupel was hired, everybody was like, man, if you knew you were going to pick your guy from UCF, you should have just said so. But I think that he's come in, kept quiet, kept his head down, worked hard, and established what he was looking for. And regardless of whoever plays the quarterback position, he's shown you that his offense is effective no matter where you go. And the defense looks like a night and day from last year. And Coach Banks, Coach Heupel, and all the other coordinators and position coaches have shown us that Tennessee is going to be a force to be reckoned with here in a few, in a short few years. Because once the recruits see that this is just not a, you know, fly by night program or a band aid over it, that this is in, they're here for the long term, we're going to be fine.
So you mentioned it was fun to see his kids having fun and smiles on their faces and all that kind of thing. Did anybody have fun playing last year at Tennessee?
I don't think anybody had fun other than the McDonald's people. But I say that jokingly.
Right, right.
But, I mean, let's just be real. I've stated this multiple times. And for me, and Ramon, you know, our coaches, Coach Farmer, Coach Sanders, Coach McCorvey, Coach Trooper, all those guys are confident in themselves as men. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the last few coaches have not been confident in who they are, or they were trying to live up to something they weren't. Like I said in the pregame radio yesterday with Eric and Tyler, I was like, dude, Coach Heupel has been there, done that. He's played. He's won. He's been there. I mean, he was up for the College Football Hall of Fame. I mean, so the guy's confident in who he is, and he's confident in his system. So for me, him coming in and establishing that culture again, and those guys being excited and knowing he's actually a football coach that gets it, the sky's the limit for Tennessee if we continue to progress where it looks like where we're going.
What do you, Troy, what do you think next week about Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's kind of the one where we looked at and said this might be the most important game of the season, just to see where you are and potentially being 3-0 with Florida on deck and just feeling good about yourself for almost the first month of the season. How do you see that game going? You know, we've still got a ways till we get there, but it's next Saturday.
Yeah, I said Pittsburgh is definitely important because it's a better opponent. They had a top 10, top 15 defense last year. They have produced numerous NFL players, probably one of the best ever, Aaron Donald, with the LA Rams. So it's going to be a challenge for Tennessee. It's also going to be a step up in the secondary play for Joe in the receiving core. But they got to come to play. But I said it in offseason too, is that if Tennessee beats Pittsburgh and they'll get Tennessee Tech and they're 3-0 going into Florida, going to Gainesville, they'll have a lot of confidence regardless of who Florida rolls out. I don't know one player Florida has that's coming back other than Emory Jones. But, again, Florida always reloads and finds a way to be, you know, a pain in our butt.
Yeah. Troy, real quick, Friday night, man, football, high school football. I know you're in tune to it. Your school's a talent-rich school. I just want to say, do you see this staff being able to tap into these recruiting classes coming up? Because, again, I think it's embarrassing for us as a university to be at number 17, I think, on the list before we get a Tennessee commit in state this year. You see the staff being able to change that as far as closing the border down.
Absolutely. And the one thing I did say is that so many of us VFLs now are high school coaches, whether head coaches or assistant coaches. Tap into that relationship with those coaches and former VFLs
and get in their programs, make your face visible. I think that the kids are truly in a wait and see because they probably want to be at Tennessee, but they're just like some of the fans. They have a bad taste from just all the past experiences, so they're waiting and seeing. But again, when you, there are guys that have already committed, have always said the one thing. They're real, they're open, they're honest, and they have a relationship with them. And I think once they really get that established with the coaches and it trickles down to the players, they're going to lock down the borders.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, man.
Troy, great stuff, man. Always good to catch up with you. We look forward to it every chance we get.
I appreciate it, gentlemen.
Appreciate
have a great
you,
day.
Troy. Yeah, you too.
That's Troy Fleming. So, Shafe, do we get a break now or do we do this now?
We do it live.
Oh, yeah. I sent his people a message about an hour ago, and I just got a response on Twitter via DM on line one right now. Andy in K-Town. What's going on, Andy?
What's up, Andy?
Hey, what's going on?
So tell us about what happened with that video.
Well, man, not a lot of people know. I've been freestyling and rap battling since I was in high school. Man, we would be in the cafeteria and we would battle. And recently I just started back doing it. And so I just do it for fun. I'm never going to – I might do one song or something. I've talked to a couple of people. My trainer alone, he does write music. His name's the captain out of Johnson City. He's a trainer at Mayweather Boxing and Fitness, named Capo Chris Miller. And so I thought about doing something, but I just enjoy it and just love and support the players. And you know, if it gets them going, it gets them popping out there and busting heads, I'm all up for it. And they've always told me that, you know, they've enjoyed it. And
yeah,
I was talking to them last night and they said they appreciate it. So that's why I do it for. I mean, if some people don't like it, I don't really care, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, so it's just, tell me this. So I'm sure, you know, you wrote it down a little bit. You kind of had where you wanted to go there. Did you do that in one take or did you shoot multiple videos to get the one that you wanted? I mean, you were wearing, obviously you had the jersey on, the sunglasses and all that. So you had the look down, but in terms of just the rap itself, did you do more than one or was that just, are you just one take, Andy?
Well, the FedEx man went by once and ruined the first one. So I had to redo it. And so that was second time. So
as a whole though, like, is this the biggest video you've had as far as views? Because it seemed like it's taking off. It's
last
not?
Year.
Oh,
last year, at the Tennessee Alabama game, I had did a freestyle on campus and wrote it, you know, from the head, nothing written, and so it went viral and someone reported it and it was up to, I think, 700,000 views.
Ooh.
And, then this reporter, he called me and he's like, so, you know, and asked me some questions. I was like, man, I was like, that's nothing. So I did a remix to it and it got even more heat on it. And I'm like, I told him, I was like, If I sit down and really, really write, I can come up with some crazy stuff. Matter of fact, there was a radio reporter last year out of Knoxville, and he called me out on a rap battle, and it was pretty vulgar, needless to say, but I destroyed him. So
hey,
so who are your rap influences, Andy? I mean, you don't just come out of nowhere. Who are the guys that you usually listen to?
My idol of all time is Biggie, the Notorious B.I.G.
Yes, sir.
But, right now I would have to say Kevin Gates.
Okay.
Or Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
That's my two.
Okay.
But, I'm just trying to, right now the flow speed's not there. So I'm really trying to work on that, but it takes time.
You gotta get your cadence,
you know, people
right.
Think it's easy, and it's not. It's not easy coming up with just words. Like yesterday, someone asked me, She's a ball fan. She asked me to come up with a freestyle off my head, so I did a little bit while I was in the stands yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like right now, I could probably come up with something if y'all wanted me to.
I'm not going to stop you, man. If you got,
it's just got to be clean. It's the only thing.
Yeah, we're on terrestrial radio. We'll back away from the microphones and enjoy.
And you'll take us in the break, man.
Here's one thing before you. But wait a second. Before you start freestyling, we have a request. Can you write something up for the Pittsburgh game and call us next Friday and drop it on our show?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
I'll tell you this. I'll try to up the ante on it.
There it is.
That's what I want to hear. But if you got something for us, you do it, and we'll send it in to break. And then don't hang up, because I'll put you on hold, and Schaefer will talk to you for a minute.
All right. Yeah, I can come up with something.
All right. We are ready.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
This is Andy from the 423-865. That's right. I'm still alive. I had them bars slinging like AKs. That's right. Them bombs were slinging like AKs. Bullets flying. They thought I was dying. That's right. I ain't going to be dying. I ain't going to retire. I'm never going to retire. I'm going to sling them bars because I'm never going to retire.
Woo, woo, woo. Give me the horn, Safe.
Woo! Stay on hold, Andy. Schaefer will talk to you, brother. We'll be right back to finish up the show. It's J. Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Yo, what's going on? This is Andy from the 423. We here in K-Town, Tennessee. Bowling Green, it's about to get nasty. Our boys bringing blood and physicality. QBs will run, throw bombs, running backs attack like bulls. You guys were gonna look like fools. Defensive line gonna grab you, maul you to the turf. It's what it's called, Gorilla Gang. After we done with you, we'll be known as Orange Bloods. Orange Gang, we are now on the hype train. Bowling Green, you think you mean? Well, Tennessee just wants the dub in the green. Now better not make this trip, because once we done with you, there won't be no return trip. Welcome to K-Town, where we will do the K-Town stomp. Best leave or you will get stomped. You boys, let's ride, because VFLs, it's the way of life. Let's go!
So that's Andy in the 423, VFL Bowser. I sent him our phone number in the message I sent, and he called Schaefer. And he gave us a fresh one at the end, and then promised he's calling next Friday.
We will have a fresh one prior to the Pitt game.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenal.
So, y'all, prior next Friday,
yeah.
K-Town Andy and Macho Man.
Yes, sir. Woo! I'm seeing all these flames in the zone chat.
So
right
Slay
now.
Called during the break, and I heard him scream this to me. He goes, "Andy, the coldest man on earth." So here's the thing, right? So we had some fun with it early in the show and stuff like that. And Schaefer made this point, and I agree with him. Andy was like so genuine.
Yeah, he was.
Like, so earnest about it. Earnest was the word that Schaefer used.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just some phony nonsense. Like, he's just a guy
doing what he
out here doing what he wants to do and having fun. And you know what? I like that.
Yep.
Like, I liked everything that he brought there.
I can respect it, Jay. Because, like you said, like, we're looking at it because we don't. His lyrics are what they are. He got to get better at it. But he's like, man, he got to follow.
Joe Milton, man. He's going a little too far.
Take some. I felt like the freestyle he did today was better than the one he did.
Oh, yesterday. It was. I think it was, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Somebody said, who's better, Ice, J.J. Fish, or Andy? I'm taking Andy all day, Nick. Nick Sims, I'm taking Andy all day.
You're going to ask him Drake or Kanye.
I think he was going to go with Drake because he said Lil Wayne was his influence. Hey, I don't get no better.
Here on J-Mar and Ramon, I'm on 104.5 The Zone. Andy from the 423, Vols win because of hype from me. Bowling Green was led to their fate. Vols feeling like it's 98. Bleeding orange till I die. Joe Milton lets it fly. Here with J-Mar, Ramon, and Schaefer. Listen, because you hear me on the tape, you heard.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey.
That wasn't Andy.
And it wasn't better than the real Andy. It wasn't better.
It was just, look, Andy in the 4-2-3 doesn't believe in your rhyme schemes. He's not out here doing quatrains and sonnets.
Nah, he out here doing the
It's spoken word with Andy. Like, whoever that was, I'm pretty sure we know who that was. Matter of fact, the chat I see on YouTube, a lot of people have already called him out. And he admitted to it. Matter of fact, he just said, that was trash compared to Andy.
Spot the lie.
Oh, by the way.
VFL Bowser 98, he just tweeted, Ron, to what I just said. He said, Ron, much love. GBO, big slay, man. You was a man back in the day. Two orange emojis.
Was the man.
Jason, Harry Douglas stealing your gimmick right now. Harry Douglas stealing your gimmick on ESPN.
Harry Douglas says Titans will reach Super Bowl this season. It's all right, man. He's listening to J. Martin Ramon.
You got it.
Hey,
imitation is sincerest form of flattery. Right. That's how you end a Friday. We're not here on Monday. Enjoy the Labor Day holiday.
Be safe.
Yeah, be safe.
And by the way, fam, special celebration on Tuesday.
Yeah, oh, that's, yeah, big time. It's going to be fun on Tuesday. By the way, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. for 4 hours will be me and Aaron Torres on Fox Sports Radio talking all of college football week one. Getting you set. So a little bit more radio from me this weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bucky is coming up next, but he ain't going to be better than Andy in the 4-2-3. We win the day. We win the day. For Ramon Foster and Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin. We'll see you on Tuesday, which is not second Monday.
Be safe and remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic are always hot.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.